The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging and you will not be judged. Stop condemning and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give and gifts will be given to you. A good measure, packed down, shaken down, and overflowing will be poured into your lap. For the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you." The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Little tiny thought for you here for the day. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Is that the best known line in all the New Testament? I think it is. Don't judge, right? And you will not be judged. You'll get people who can't quote you one single line of Scripture who can quote you that best known line and most misunderstood line in all the New Testament. And because it's so well known and so widely quoted and bantered about, I think it's very important that we understand it well. Okay, so let's try to do that. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. What does that mean? Does that mean that you can't call good actions good and evil actions evil? Does that mean that you have to say that evil and good are both equal and that we have to turn a blind eye because, you know, who am I to judge? Is that what it means? So, for example, if a boss withholds wages from his employee or cheats on his taxes, what are we supposed to do? Turn a blind eye, say that's just fine, and who am I to judge? Or what happens if somebody practices racial prejudice or lies under oath? Or what happens if the schoolyard bully beats up the smallest kid in the class? What are we supposed to do? Just shrug our shoulders and say, well, yeah, boys will be boys. Do not judge. Does that mean that you can never call good actions good and call evil actions evil? Jesus himself, who gave us these words and who told us judgment is reserved to your heavenly Father, was the first one to tell sinners, go now and sin no more. Okay, so I hope it's clear that do not judge does not mean and cannot mean that we can't judge actions. Evil actions is evil, good actions is good. It cannot mean that. What it does mean is that we cannot judge persons such that no matter what somebody does, you can never know their thoughts, know their motives, say that they're a good person or a bad person, say that they're going to heaven or to hell. That's what it means to judge somebody. That's where we have to step back and leave it to God. Now, the secular world, it's interesting, the very secular world that's so quick to say, you know, who am I to judge and don't judge me, they're of two minds when it comes to judgment. With regard to manifest crimes, you know, perjury or gun violence or lying under oath or any of these things, theft, these sorts of things, when it comes to manifest crimes, boy, there's judgment from the secular world and judgment in spades, isn't there? The secularism loves to portray itself as being merciful and compassionate, but watch out. I mean, if you get yourself on the wrong side of secularist dogma, you will find yourself judged with ferocity and intensity that, you know, it's not seen anywhere this side of hell. And yet, when it comes to personal sins, you know, things like, I don't know, infidelity in marriage or sexual immorality, that's when people say, hey man, who are you to judge me? Please understand this. The principle of Jesus Christ is always the same. Yes, we do judge the action, but we never judge the person. Okay? So I hope that's clear. Now, for you and me, here's something we might not be aware of. Day by day, our judgment of other people is constantly going on. It's very, very subtle, and we're all very guilty of it. This comes from St. Francis de Sales. Okay, tell me if this doesn't sound familiar. When it comes to judging ourselves and judging our neighbors, we fault our neighbors for a trifle, but we want others to excuse us of major faults. We demand justice from everybody else, but for ourselves, we want mercy. We want others to take our words and remarks lightly and in jest, but we are very sensitive about what anyone else says. We want everybody else to be humble about themselves, but to be very attentive to every detail of our importance. Neighbors must never complain about us, but we sure do complain about them. We think the input of others is insignificant, but we think that our input is indispensable. We judge others all day long in these subtle, subtle ways, and that's where we, practically speaking, that's where we need to work. And here's the key. This is something you have to keep in mind. You do it just by doing it. It's a virtue. You get better by doing it. And as we try to practice mercy to others, this is something we need to remember. Jesus says, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. That phrase hinges on those two words, just as. Just as your Father is merciful means two things. Number one, you're merciful to others because your Father is merciful. And number two, you're merciful to others in the same way as your Father is merciful. Whether you feel like it or not, whether they're sorry or not, whether they're going to repay you or not, whether you like them or not, whether others think well of them or whether others think evil of them, just as your Heavenly Father is merciful. And we also have to remember a certain sense of selfish motive here as well. It's the only way we're ever going to receive mercy ourselves. If you want to go to heaven, you don't have a choice. We have to, starting right now, be very merciful to everybody that we're going to see all day. I don't know about you, but if God judges me harshly, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. I don't have a choice. The only way that I can actively influence God's own judgment on me is how I spend the rest of this day judging my neighbor. Very, very important principle and one to take to heart. I like to call it your ticket to heaven. Blessed are those who show mercy. Mercy shall be theirs. Amen.